Hey.
Your hand on that microphone stand is making me nervous.
Sorry, yeah, I noticed you.
for those of you who have never dealt with, you know, audio recording, you know, very rarely do we do this perfectly, you know. Very rarely does what we sit down and record end up, you know, perfect, ready for the internet. There's always something that I have to, you know, tweak a little, you know, you fix it in post, right? That's what you do. But I swear, most of my actual editing in post is removing bumps.
Bumps or smacks or something like that.
Yeah, you know, because we record with, you know, I've got more of like a broadcaster style articulated arm, you know, mic stand, and Clark's using more just sort of a traditional boom arm, but inevitably one of us will bump into the mic stand or into the cord or into the pop screen or something, and it'll make a thump. And luckily most of the times it happens when the other person is talking, so then I can just, you know, whoop, cut that part out, and then you never notice. But sometimes it happens when we're talking, and then you'll hear the thump. And yeah, just as I hit record, Clark's resting his hand on the mic stand, and I'm like, oh gosh. So that's how we're gonna start this, with Clark guaranteeing that I have to spend an hour editing this episode.
Oh yeah, it's worth the work, right?
Oh yeah, oh yes, it is. In a stunning turn of events, we actually have a little bit of follow up this week.
Yes, we do.
So nigh upon a 67 years ago, we had an episode where we reviewed one of the Compassinos. I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah, me either.
Was it the classic? Compassino classic?
No, it might have been the Limon.
Menta y Limon? Or
I think so.
Refrescani or something?
Refrescani, something like that.
Anyway, we did an episode on some Compassino a long time ago. Long time ago. Not that's the joke, dear listener. If you didn't, there was sarcasm there because we haven't been doing the podcast that long. In fact, we almost, did we miss our year anniversary?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it earlier, but
anyway, so the joke is we haven't been doing the podcast that long. But anyway, in a previous episode, we talked about some Compassino, blah 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 blah. And we joked, I think at length. Oh my gosh, yeah, we missed our well, missed is not the right word. February 10th, 2016 is when it just started. We are recording this February 12th, 2017. So
hey, here's happy 1 year anniversary.
Here's to us. Happy 1 year. We made it.
Sweet.
I feel like we should have done a more special episode. Because this episode is going to be very, very run of the mill and normal. So maybe next time,
maybe next one we'll do something a little.
We'll do something funny. We've been bouncing back and forth a few interesting ideas that they're not going to be fun to record, but they might be fun for you to listen to. or maybe no one will have fun, and it'll just be really awkward, and we'll wonder why we did this. So next time we'll do our belated 1 year anniversary special. Because we're not going to change our plans now.
But, yeah, we're already pretty deep into this.
Yeah, so. This episode is going to be episode 33. So 33 yeah. episodes over the course of 1 year. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
That's not a terrible recording schedule, and probably about what we'll keep up for the next 150 years. Because I'm gonna commit us right now. We're gonna be recording this until we're dead.
100. Okay.
We're gonna record this from the grave. It's gonna be in our will that our kids are going to have to continue this podcast,
whether they like it or not.
It's like, and if they don't continue their podcast, they don't get a dime. Well, I don't think there will be much money on my end to be
there's
leaving.
Not gonna, yeah, I'm going to be behind some old gourds.
Well, I'm taking those with me. I'm Egyptian style, Egyptian pharaoh style. Those are going to be in the sarcophagus with me. And in 1,000 years, some British scientists are going to open up my grave. And yeah, that's what they'll find. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh man.
You can't take it with you, but no reason not to try.
Yeah. Oh man.
Which is to say, we have some follow up about Compassino.
that's what that was about.
So we spent a good time, a good long at length, making fun of how their website, which, I mean, if you look on the box of a Compassino product, I could not find the website. I mean, it may be on the bottom or something, but I just remember when we did the research for that episode, I could not find the website. Typing in Compassino Yerba Mate into Google, it brought up like everything but their website. And then, but then I found like they have a page on Facebook, and on their Facebook page, it listed their website. And when I clicked on it, it was just nothing. It was just, I don't remember if it 404 or if it literally just did nothing, like server not responding. But I remember I went into the Wayback Machine, you know, the internet archives, and I found that for the greater half of this millennium, the Compassino website was a like Microsoft Word clip art under construction placeholder image. But we are proud, on behalf of the Compassino company, we are proud to reveal that their website was finished sometime between when we did that episode, when I did that research, and now, because last week, right after we finished recording the episode, I don't remember why, but we decided to look at the Compassino website again. I don't remember why. And lo and behold, we were greeted by like a proper website.
Yeah.
So in the show notes, we'll leave a link to their new and improved website, because it's still, I guess you could almost consider, you know, deep web, dark web. There's a difference, but I don't remember which is which, because it does not come up when you type it into Google. At least it did not last week. So I don't know if it's not archived or if you just
have to know the actual website,
the URL. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it'll be in the show notes, so you can look at it. I think they only have Spanish and Portuguese, but you just want to look at the pictures anyway.
Yep.
Because like we kind of talked about last time, or was it the last time? No, it wasn't last time. I think it was 2 times ago. Most of these websites, especially if they're new for mate companies, they're bad. They're no good. No information. Which the thing that we're going to talk about today has in common. So Compassino has a new website. And there was much rejoicing. The other thing is, we had a new review appear in the iTunes land. Yes. And we are still at the point where we get reviews so infrequently that we can call attention to and celebrate each individual one.
It's actually from today.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough.
Yeah, I don't actually check that often. No, I'm not seeing it.
Oh, I see it.
Okay.
I have it pulled up.
So Clark's going to read it.
Yeah.
And because for some reason when I just looked it up, it was gone.
Yeah. So it's a 5-star rating from Joseph the Dope.
Is that his legal Christian name?
That's his legal name. I'm guessing. Just kidding. Just kidding, Joseph.
if that's really your name.
It says, this is a great podcast. No pontificating about how mate is the only thing anyone should ever drink. No bossiness on how mate should or shouldn't be consumed. Just good information and opinions on yerba and yerba accessories. Saludos from China. All right. We have an international person.
Yeah, I think, iTunes podcasts are allowed in China. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Almost 100% sure. So that's good. Because if we were on YouTube and he was saying saludos from China, we'd be like, Xi Jinping's gonna get you. Xi Jinping's gonna descend from the ceiling, and you know, special ops style, and get you. You know, you gotta watch out when you're in China. Xi Jinping's gonna get you.
That's right. So yeah, pretty awesome.
Yep, thank you so much. Thank you so much, good sir or madam. We are continuing our streak of 5 stars. Yay! Yeah. I'm sure that will last forever.
Yeah, probably, because we really don't get any.
It's like in YouTube. There's always that one person. They're like, oh my gosh, like 100,000 views, no thumbs down. Like, that's how you know it's good music or whatever. And then someone reads that and then goes and thumbs down the video just to screw him.
Rain on the parade.
So that's okay. Don't be a don't be a
don't yeah
Don't be a bad person.
We can't afford to get a bad rating at this
especially
point.
At this point, yeah.
We have like 10, so that'd really bring us down.
Well, we have 8 to be exact.
Oh.
And I believe, unless they fixed it, 2 of those are duplicates.
Yeah, 2 of them are duplicates.
But that doesn't matter because it's 8 as far as iTunes is concerned.
Yep. Right.
So, woohoo, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to, and honestly, I mean, that kind of is what, you know, makes us keep going is hearing back from our listeners, knowing that we're not just talking into the ether and no one's hearing us, you know, hearing feedback, hearing your questions, you know, of course, reading your 5-star reviews is also great, but, you know, especially, you know, getting questions and stuff really, you know, makes us feel like we want to keep doing this.
Yeah, it keeps motivating us to just keep doing this good work. So,
because, I mean, you know, podcast ain't paying the bills.
No, sir.
All right. So going from that wonderful 5-star rating, we're going to now talk about a real 5-star product.
Yes.
Was it last time we off the cuff sort of mentioned, you know, it's been a while since we've tried this incredibly popular brand. So we decided, well, not realizing what day of the year was, you know, because anniversary and all, but we're doing the Cruz de Malta episode today, folks. You can hear my voice, how excited I am to do it. Not that there's anything inherently wrong with Cruz de Malta, or there might be, honestly. I bought a package. I bought a whole fracking kilo of it the other day. Thank you. That's what I wanted. It'll sit next to my Tarawih, which I've drunk a couple of times since we did the Tarawih episode. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, I haven't drunk it since we bought it. And I have not had Cruz de Malta in almost 5 years, which was the last time I bought it. And I bought it. I mean, we've told our Cruz de Malta stories on the podcast before, but maybe we'll just quickly recap our first experiences with Cruz de Malta, because at least in my case, it was essentially the first yerba that I came into contact with after returning from South America. So since you're yawning, since this conversation is just so boring.
Sorry, man.
Dear listener, you couldn't see it, but I could. So I came home from Brazil. You know, I stockpiled my bag when I came home because I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find this stuff. And, you know, I went to one of the nearest Hispanic markets to just be able to see, like, oh, do they have Brazilian things in the U.S.? Because, you know, I was never really interested in Brazil, but since I lived there, yada, yada, yada. And obviously, I wanted to find some match, and I saw some match. And I said, oh, interesting. Pretty good looking package. I actually think their packaging has gotten worse. It was good looking back then, at least. And so I bought it. I took it home and I'm like, oh, okay. This is definitely like how it is in Argentina. Because I'd had Argentine mate before. If you remember, my very first experience with drinking mate was Argentine. So it wasn't like I opened the bag and I'm like, holy crap, what the heck is this? Why are there leaves in here or whatever? Because, you know, Brazilian stuff is powdery and whatnot. I put it in my gourd. I prepared it, you know, in the way that I would a chimarrón. Obviously, you know, it's a lot easier to prepare Argentine. Put in my bombilla, poured in the hot water. And gosh, I just drank that liquid disappointment. It just was not what I was looking for, because I don't remember what I drank that first time, but it has to be Rosamonte, because I remember it being very, very pungent and smoky and strong. I remember that. Well, the third time I drank it, that's what I tasted, because the first two times I only tasted hot and I tasted burnt tongue. But by the time I could actually taste I mean, obviously, maybe, you know, I'm misremembering, because that's a thing. But I like to think to myself that the first yerba that I tried was Rosamonte. But so I already had, you know, one kind of preconceived notion about what Argentine yerba was like. I obviously had, you know, years of experience what Brazilian erva is like. And I was expecting, you know, one of the two things. And then I drank the Cruz de Malta. And like I said, just liquid disappointment. I just did not care for it at all. Like I said, I don't know if it's objectively bad, but just because I hadn't, it's sort of like, you know, you think For example, if someone made Kool-Aid and you think that it's going to be sweet, but someone forgot to put the sugar in, and when you drink it, your brain has like a momentary like almost like you like have a stroke. Like a
free, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it doesn't know how to react. Like it just goes into error mode, and you don't even realize like you don't register like I don't know what I'm tasting, but it's wrong. And that's sort of what I felt like the first time I had Cruz de Malta, and I gave it the old college try a couple of times, and it just did not resonate with me. So I ended up actually finishing the rest of the 500 gram package as Tereré, and it was actually not too bad as Tereré. So maybe that's what I'm going to do with the whole kilo that I've got. But yeah, I really have not had it hot, like I said, in basically 5 years. So this is going to be a new, something interesting. What about you, Clark? How do you and the crews get along?
Yeah. It's been like 3 or 4 years for me. For me, it wasn't the first Argentine Yerba that I had after getting back from Brazil, but I had already tried a few different ones, obviously. But by the time I got around to trying Cruz, it was like, it's all right. Like, I just had such limited access to Erva to begin with, that I was just kind of taking what I could get and going to the local Hispanic store and picking up whatever Argentine Yerba was there. So Cruz was one of them, and I don't really remember anything standing out to me as far as it being really delicious to me or really being awful. I just remember it being just kind of one that was in my rotation for a little bit. But then, I got like a kilo or two, but then that was it. Like, I finished that and I never went back to it. So I guess really didn't.
You drank a lot more of it than I did. I only bought one little 500 gram bag.
Yeah, yeah. So I was, I hit the Argentine Yerba pretty hard for a little while there, but
yeah,
I was just like, I think by the time I was like, had already had all that Cruz de Malta and other Argentine Yerbas, I had already discovered a source for Chimajón here in the U.S. And gotcha. So I was like,
yeah, you had no reason.
Screw that. So, but yeah, it's been a while. So I really am foggy on how it is, how it tastes. So I'm kind of excited to try this out tonight.
Yeah. And a little correction, a real-time follow-up. I remembered now. I did not actually buy the little 500 gram package of Cruz de Malta. I did not actually buy that at a Hispanic restaurant or Hispanic store. I actually bought it at a grocery store. I bought it at a Woodman's. Holla to my Midwest peeps shopping at Woodman's. Woodman's is just a chain of grocery stores in the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
That are actually like really legit. Like, they're really awesome grocery stores. They're like really big and like treat their employees super nice and like have really good selections of products and stuff. Yeah, and in their Hispanic section, they sold 500 gram packages of Cruz de Malta. I do remember that same day. What I'm confusing myself with is. So I bought it at a Woodman's, and then from there, because it was just, some Saturday right after I came back from Brazil, and I was just all eager to kind of, scope out the area. From there, I went to a big Hispanic store that was near there, and they only had Cruz de Malta as well, but they had 1 kilo packages. So that's where I'm misremembering where I remember, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So if you happen to live near a Woodman's, which means you probably live in Wisconsin, Illinois, maybe Indiana, maybe Iowa. I know they have them in Wisconsin and Illinois. go there, you can probably pick up Cruz de Malta for pretty cheap. I paid probably $3 for 500 grams.
Oh, yeah. Not bad. Yeah, I must have missed out on that. I never noticed any when I was out in Chicago.
Woodman's or
Woodman's? Cruz? Yeah. I don't know. It was just because I was just like, oh, well, I'll go to stores that I know about.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're specifically searching out a specific grocery store, it's not like you just stumble into one unless you happen to like live right next to one or something. Yeah, but anyway, true. Yeah. But you've definitely had a lot more than I have, it seems, of Cruz de Malta.
Yeah.
So let's just move on. Cruz de Malta is produced by Molinos Río de la Plata, which is the same company that produces Nobleza Gaucha.
Yes.
As it were, if you remember our Nobleza Gaucha episode. I don't know what, like, in terms of, you know, the way they handle things, I'm assuming the two brands just sort of run themselves, and Molinos Rio de la Plata is just sort of the parent company. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Cruz de Malta, you know, just kind of, they have their own farms, it does come from Misiones, but you know, that's just a region, you know, just because it comes from Misiones, that doesn't mean really diddly squat, because there's, you know, 587,000 different producers of mate in the Misiones region.
Roughly.
I greatly exaggerated that. but yeah, I mean, but obviously, you know, Nobleza Gaucha, 98% sure, also comes from Misiones, because, you know, same parent company. And anyway, so it would be interesting to see, you know, because one, and, you know, like we've talked about, Molinos Rio de la Plata is just, you know, sort of one of those mega agricultural parent company conglomerations. But it is interesting that, you know, they have, one, their name, Molinos, is like, you know, but I take that back, because, you know, because since they do have like flour products, and a molino is, you know, for like grains and stuff too. So yeah. I take that one back. But yeah, it's just interesting that within the Molinos parent company, they have two distinct brands of mate. And each one of those brands, you know, has their different sort of variations. Cruz de Malta has, you know, they have a lot of like flavored blends. Yeah. They have like a lemon. They have like a mente boldo. And, you know, obviously Nobleza Gaucha has their, you know, cosecha especial, and they have a suave. So, I mean, they're, it's not like, so for like, for example, you know, Las Marias, they'll do, you know, they'll do like a tarawi sin palos, and then a couple of flavors of tarawi. But then they'll do like an Union Suave, and the Union Suave line is like, those are the suaves. They don't have a Tarawi Suave, right? They have a Liviana, which is, it's sort of different. But as far as Las Marias goes, like, each brand accomplishes a specific task, right? So like La Merced is sort of the top shelf Las Marias, right? Tarawi is sort of the, you know, the everyday back burning, whatever, I don't think that's a real phrase, it's, you know, just sort of the it's the meat and potatoes brand. Union Suave is sort of the, you know, well,
a lightweight, like
yeah, it's not, that wasn't the word I was gonna say, but yeah. Mañanita, I've never actually had Mañanita, but I'm pretty sure it's also produced by Las Marias, but you get the point, right? So like, each of their sort of, you know, their brands accomplishes a specific purpose, whereas I feel like Molinos Rio de la Plata, both of their brands essentially kind of aim for the same markets, right? Like Cruz de Malta directly competes with Nobleza Gaucha.
Yeah, true.
So that's kind of interesting. It's just sort of a different business model, which is to say, it's mate from Argentina.
Yeah, typical.
Misiones. The cut. It's actually a pretty nice cut. If there's one thing that I can genuinely praise about Cruz, I spent a semester abroad in Spain, so I still sometimes lisp my Z's, especially when I'm trying to be clever. So they have just a really nice, even cut. Really nice, even leaves. You know, the palos, the sticks, aren't all over the place. Obviously, you know, not much polvo, not much powder. And that's just the name of the game with Argentina. Sort of a, you know, kind of a drab olive color. Pretty, you know, nothing too surprising. But it's just really consistent. Yeah, that's the best word for it. And, you know, I appreciate that.
It's kind of
fun that you get, you know, sometimes you'll get a mate with, you know, like the leaf sizes are all over the board. But, you know, there is something to be said about having just a very nice, neat, consistent cut.
Hear that.
Well, yeah. Without further ado, then I guess we'll just start sipping on that good, as I think that's something the kids are saying.
That's what those kids are saying nowadays, or something.
I think that's what I hear the kids in the neighborhood say. But I mean, the kids in my neighborhood are like six and seven, so I'm pretty sure that's what they're saying. But yeah, so here goes nothing. Like I said, this is the first time I've had it in almost 5 years.
Oh, I just noticed the preparation style you chose today.
What's that?
The bombilla over the...
Oh, yeah. Sort of the... People kind of know it as the Guayaquil method.
The Guayaquil method.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, sometimes I just... With Argentine, I kind of do it when I'm sort of feeling lazy.
Because it's like, it works either way.
It works. So yeah. I mean, as long... The key with the sort of the Guayaquil method, which is, you know, you put the... You make the slope of sherba, and then you lay the bombilla on top of the slope instead of into the slope like you would with normally. The key is you have to essentially not be very tidy, because if you're very tidy, the bombilla will just sit perfectly on top of the leaves and nothing will happen. You will just be sort of drinking slightly, mm-hmm. slightly tinged water. But if you really just kind of disturb the sherba around the bombilla and really just kind of allow it to move around, then yeah, and it essentially turns into the exact same thing, just sort of messier and not as nice. But
yeah.
Anyway, now that I've let it sit in the gourd for like a year,
you let it steep
it's,
for
it's gonna, because you know that's what you should do all the time, is when you drink mate, you should really just let it steep in the gourd for 5, 6, 7 hours. Don't, I'm joking. Please don't. I really hope you're not that gullible. Anyway, here goes. Gosh, I'm kind of scared. Yep. Tastes exactly like I remember it. There's that liquid disappointment. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just ingrained in my memory. Even though I haven't had it in 5 years, the second it touched my mouth, I'm like, yep, I remember that. I remember that perfectly. It's not bad. Like I said, it's not bad. Like, I don't know what to say. Here, I'll just...
Mull that over. I'll...
I guess sort of the TLDR is, you know, I'm wondering if just sort of my, I wouldn't call it hatred, but, you know, the sort of the negativity I feel is really just sort of psychological, just because I associate certain things, certain feelings with it. I don't know. It's one of the first words that come to my mind when I drink it is like maybe dank. Like dank memes. It's very heavy tasting. I don't know. Like, it's very, where like Rosamonte I wouldn't say Cruz de Malta is dark. It's not dark. I wouldn't say it's bright. I wouldn't say it's dark. Like, it's sort of medium.
It's like muddy.
Yeah. I would say it's muddy. But it's not like, I mean, Rosamonte or like Canarias, those are like
dark. Yeah, those are like dark deep.
And like, you know, like Kraus Organic is like, you know, bright and like drinking grassy water, you know, but not really. But, you know, it's more on that spectrum where it's really just like very light. Cruz really just kind of sits in the middle.
Sits in the middle in all aspects. It actually produced a really nice head of foam, but that was really like, that was, how do you say? Misleading.
Mm.
It was misleading.
Yeah, it's
pretty bitter. Like a decent amount of bitterness to it. I'm gonna try to hold off my opinion until the next round and see if anything changes, but.
Yeah,
kind of same, along the same lines as Steven. Like I don't remember it very well, and this is probably why I don't remember it standing out to me at all, just because it's just like, it's, I don't know, there's just really nothing unique or something that would really draw me into it.
I would probably, I mean, if I knew someone that wanted to try mate, and they just had sort of an average palate, I would probably recommend this to them just because it's it does kind of toe into that more good side of mate where it's like really like robust and complex.
Yeah, but there's not a lot to it. It's not real.
But it's on the other hand, it's pretty agreeable. Like it's got, like you said, like it's got an okay amount of bitterness. It's pretty smooth. But I mean, overall, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of average to me. Yeah, I'm trying to be, you know, as objective as possible, you know, without dwelling on my ingrained, you know, preconceived notions about the Sherb. It's average. It's okay. If I only could drink Cruz de Malta for the rest of my life, I wouldn't be happy about it. But I mean, I guess I'd survive. There are other sherbas that I would be much happier being stuck with for the rest of my life. There are a few that I would be less happy with.
There are a few where I'd rather just not drink mate at all.
Yeah, for sure. there are some of those. But yeah, I mean,
actually this time around, like, the bitterness kind of smoothed out. Still pretty, I don't know, pretty average. I don't know. Like I've probably brought this up in other episodes. Like I don't have the most developed palate compared to some people. That being said,
yeah, I mean, neither do I really. I don't know.
I mean, like I've had enough different kinds of mate to kind of to be able to distinguish like something that's really to me worth drinking every day and not. And this is something that, like, for somebody, yeah, like you said, like somebody that really doesn't have a, you know, just is really hasn't had a mate ever and doesn't really have a developed palate like at all, like this would be good. It really doesn't have a lot to it. It's got a decent amount of bitter. It's got, you know, pretty decent robustness, not too much.
Yeah, it's inoffensive.
But it's enough to be like, if you want to if you want to just get a good Argentine mate experience, like try this out. I wouldn't
go. Yeah, because I'm sort of on the side of, like, with mate at least, like when you're recommending stuff, like try to push their boundaries, even if it's the very first yerba, like,
yeah,
just, you know, gauging on what they, you know, talking to them on the stuff they like try to go like as rich and bitter or, you know, creamy or whatever as possible, you know, without them being just like, oh my goodness, this is too much. Like, some people will be like, you know, oh, like offer them, you know, Krauss, and I'm just like,
That's underwhelming.
If you get used to Krauss, I feel like it's going to really require like sort of more work to get them to even like Cruz de Malta levels of tolerance.
Yeah,
and it's exactly. Just like whereas I would rather just kind of throw them in the middle, and then if they really can't handle that, then, you know, dial it back. Like, I guess you run the risk of, like, you know, scarring them for life. But, you know, if someone doesn't like mate, it's not the end of the world. Whatever.
We're still going to be able to sleep at night.
There's, like, people in Argentina that don't like mate. Like, yeah, it's fine. It's like, if you don't like it, whatever. You should still listen to our podcast and leave us 5-star reviews. But, you know, you don't have to, you know, give money to some company.
Yeah, exactly.
And buy their year, you just have to, you know, give us your money.
Yeah.
Because we're providing you with hours of entertainment.
That's right. I'm going to say something. Oh, yeah. Like, kind of going back to my first experience with mate, you know, kind of going along the same lines that you're saying. Like, my first mate experience with it was with Shimaho. It's, like, really, really smooth, like, grassy, like, you know, Shimaho. My first mate that I had after that was Canarias.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, I literally couldn't handle it. And I dialed it back a little bit and tried out a few others. And then I went back and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And like,
yeah,
that kind of got me.
I had a very similar experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, now I'm to the point where like I can literally try anything and it won't really blow me away. I mean, like it won't overwhelm my palate at all. Like,
whereas,
like, oh, this is too much.
Like the first time you drink Canadius, like you almost feel sick to your stomach.
I literally almost puked the first couple. I drank it like two or three times and I was like, I can't drink this until I try something a little smoother.
I still purposefully make Canadias with like, you know, the cold water that you put in the beginning to kind of, you know, make the sherba, you know, plump up a little. I purposefully use like essentially hot water because I have almost thrown up from sucking out the cold water from a gourd of Canadias.
Oh yeah, that stuff's pretty putrid.
Like, maybe that's what we'll do next time is we'll drink Canarias just
cold.
We won't even do it as Tere. We'll just drink lukewarm Canarias.
Oh my god.
We'll bring in a bucket and you'll just listen to us puke for an hour.
Just gagging the entire time.
Oh man. So you that to look forward to. I'm just kidding. We're not gonna do that to ourselves. But yeah, no. So yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, going back to Cruz, it's okay. It's fine. It's if you like Cruz de Malta, great. That's awesome. You know, nothing wrong with that. I don't really like it that much. It doesn't seem like Clark really likes that that much. But, I mean, I think it's a great sherba to really like and to fall in love with because it's really accessible and it's relatively inexpensive. Like, if you fell in love with Del Salvador, you're kind of hosed, you know? If I fell in love with, I don't know, Canarita? I don't know why I went with two Uruguayan mates in a row. Let me try something else. If I fell in love with Valerio, I'd be kind of hosed.
Yeah.
You don't find Valerio that much in the United States. I've seen it once.
You'd have to know how to speak Portuguese and send them an email and then try to figure out how to pay the people to get it to you.
I've seen it in a store once, and it was in Florida.
Oh.
And probably, you know, at some Brazilian market. But yeah, so, you know, it's always... And Argentina has sort of that, you know... has that advantage always if you're going to choose, you know, if you're going to choose which country you're going to align yourself with, you know, Argentina is the safe bet because you're going to find the most variety of Argentine sherbas.
Yep. It's true. Funny enough, when I went down to visit my wife in Mexico before marrying her, at the supermarket across the store from where she lives, there was a double, like a 2 kilo pack, it was 2 1-kilo packages of Cruz de Malta, like plastic wrapped with like a ceramic Cruz de Malta, like little gourd in the middle.
Yeah. See, there you go. It's everywhere.
I was like, I almost bought it. I was like, it's Cruz.
Can't escape.
Yeah. Like I would have only bought it for the gourd, really. But it was just like, not worth it. I mean, and they don't, there's not really enough. I mean, there's not even that many mate drinkers in Mexico to begin with, especially that part of Mexico where she's from. It's closer to Cuba than anywhere else. So it's like,
right.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's really accessible. I mean, I'm sure. Did you see it in Europe when you're over there?
Mate? Or
no, Cruz de Malta.
I don't remember. Probably. I saw Canarias. I'm pretty sure at the place. No, yeah. I mean, I don't remember seeing it, but I'm sure they had it because I went to a little booth in a public market that had Curupi, for crying out loud. They had Curupi, they had Canarias, and those are the ones that I remember because those are the ones that I bought. But I'm sure they had Argentine because I mean, like I said on the Nobleza Gaucha episode, the little supermarket, like it wasn't even that big of a supermarket. The little supermarket that I lived next to in Spain, in the little suburb of Madrid had Nobleza Gaucha. So
wow,
yeah,
there you go.
So yeah, but yeah, so you're gonna find Argentine sherba pretty much anywhere you go unless you go to Brazil. Then it's actually really hard to find
unless you're on the like the frontera, the border of Brazil and Argentina. You're not gonna find it there.
Yeah,
so
unless you like, you know, really really go out of your way and find like an Argentine store, which is you'll probably only find in like a big city, like basically like, São Paulo or like Hue.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway.
Oh, final note. That round was actually more likable, more enjoyable for me than any of the other ones. So now that it's like kind of washed out a little bit, I kind of detected some flavors kind of coming out. It seemed...
Which is weird because it should be the opposite.
It should be the opposite. Yeah, yeah. Before it was like really just muddy, but now it's just like, oh. It's kind of like, it's... I mean, it's still like not really blowing me away by any means.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's changed just enough to where I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I don't know.
I think, you know, people are always talking about, you know, oh, I detect hints of
rosemary.
Apple pie and hints of Pepperidge Farm white macadamia nut cookie from 1986. If I had to describe what the flavor I feel like coming out of Cruz de Malta is, I feel like I'm drinking wood. Like, it tastes very woody. Which is weird because there aren't that much palos, but, like, I mean, you know, you go out camping, you whittle a stick, you put it in your mouth, right? I know what wood tastes like. This kind of just tastes like hot wood. Just putting that hot wood in my mouth. So yeah, I mean, that's just what it tastes like. It tastes like if I feel like if I just went into the forest and just ground, you know, crunch up a bunch of sticks, put them in a gourd and poured hot water over it and let it steep for a while. I feel like that's the taste I would get out of it. I don't know. It just tastes very woody to me.
Yeah, definitely not like, for me, it's better than Taragüí. Because Taragüí has that really like rubbery, weird flavor.
Yeah.
But it's still like, it's kind of still on the same level.
Yeah, I think, I don't really know. I don't know if I can make a call which I like better. Like, both of them are drinkable, but neither of them really blow me away.
Yeah, that's probably the takeaway here.
But hey, if you like Cruz, yeah. Hey. Let us know. You know, I know Cruz has a yeah. fan base.
Definitely, yeah. It's one of the more popular brands. So. Yeah, yeah. Let us know.
Yeah, you know,
just an email, whatever.
Because you know, I'm sure, if you're a Cruz fan, you know, you're probably just gritting your teeth, biting your tongue this whole episode. You know, you're thinking there are dozens of us, dozens of us. I'm sure there are more than that. But yeah, so I think. Oh, so just last thing. I mentioned that I liked their old packaging better. So, you know, in order to be hip with the kids, you know, all these mate companies are like, oh, we're so environmentally friendly and we're so blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I feel like that's like what their packaging is all about now, is just how environmentally friendly they are, which, I mean, whatever, fine, but don't make your package ugly because of it. Cruz used to have this really, really clean, like essentially mostly white packaging with their logo, and that was essentially it. It was just like this really nice, clean white paper package, the cross, right? And then their logo, and then at the bottom, you know, net weight 500 grams or whatever. But now it's got this horrible green thing at the top where it says, you know, without plastic. It says sin capas plásticas, and it has a little stupid picture of the globe. But here's the thing, right? Cruz de Malta is predominantly red, right? And they have a little bit of green where they say el sabor de la tradición.
Yeah, and then right? the little leaves right there.
And so, you know, that's already kind of pushing it. But the big green stripe, and I'm a designer by trade, right? And if there's one thing you should know is you don't put red and green next to each other.
Is this a Christmas package?
Yeah. What? I don't know. So yeah, I think their package has gone downhill. I think their packaging, their old packaging, used to be a lot nicer, a lot cleaner. And I also feel like the logo used to be smaller, so it had a lot more white space, which I just feel like it just looked better.
Yeah, no, I remember it looking better for sure. And it's funny because the back of the package, instead of you know, talking about the product or talking about maybe, actually no, never mind. On the side, it shows how to prepare a mate. But like on the back, all it's talking about is how the packaging is recyclable and they don't use plastic and good for the environment, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, like people that buy mate for the most part really don't care that much about that kind of thing. Like if you do it, great, but like we don't need your advertisement on the back, the entire back part of your packaging, just talking about how it's good for the environment. Like, talk about their product. Talk about the company. I don't know. Like,
talk about why your product stands out in, you know, in how it in its function as a tea, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah, I don't know. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, being good for the environment, obviously.
Yeah,
you know?
But that's fine.
But, you know, sell us on the merits of the product, not on, you know, the morals of the product. I don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, in the show notes we'll probably put a comparison of the old packaging versus the new packaging. I might be mistaken. I might be misremembering that the logo was smaller just from me Googling. But it definitely used to look better before they stuck that horrible without plastic coverings bit. Because not only did it add the green, it also added that brown at the top, and I just think it cheapens the look.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like this is the first time we've really complained about a Sherpa packaging, which is surprising because I am a designer by trade, and I notice these things everywhere, and I usually complain about these things a lot. So, Cruise just really kind of futzed it up with their. They just really stuffed it up with their with what they did to their packaging, because you know we don't want to come across too positive on this episode.
Of course.
So yeah, another glowing review from the Mate guys. But no, I mean, you know, Cruise is popular for a reason. It has, you know, it's got redeeming qualities, and you know it's a good, you know, sort of maybe boring, but you know one could drink this every day and possibly be happy, possibly.
Possible, I guess.
Me, no, but I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are very happy to do so. So if you've never tried Cruz de Malta, I feel like you kind of have to. It's one of those brands that you just sort of have to try.
Yeah.
You can find it everywhere. It's pretty darn cheap. I mean, I paid like $8 for a kilo. Not too bad.
Yeah, that's more than reasonable.
I've seen it for cheaper. I've seen it for like $6 for a kilo. Admittedly, not recently, but I have seen it before for that cheap. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
On Cruz de Malta? Cruz de Malta?
No, sir.
Okay. So yeah, that was our episode, our review, our takeaways on Cruz de Malta. If you have complaints, like we said, if you have suggestions about something you would love to hear us talk about, or if you just want to send us your glowing praise, mateguys@gmail.com. Once again, leave us all of those 5-star reviews on the iTunes dingus over there, and we'll see you next time for our
1-year anniversary special.
1-year anniversary line 1-year anniversary extravaganza.
Woohoo.
All right, bye-bye.